From Reed Street, you
come to Newfield Avenue.
Newfield Avenue.
Right upon the Smith.
And then?
Then we lived there, I don't remember just how long now. But several years we lived there, because Barbara was going to school. And Beverly was born. We lived there quite a while, because he was 7 years.
Where did they go to school? Where did Barbara go to school?
Newfield School.
Newfield School.
Beverly went to Newfield. From Newfield to Harding.
Harding.
No, to Lincoln. From Newfield to Lincoln. And then from Lincoln to Harding.
And then when you moved from Newfield School, I mean not Newfield School, but from Newfield Avenue, where did you?
Well, first we lived, moved down on
you, first you lived at 414.
And then we
moved to 207.
207, very much the house that my brother Rudy had. We lived upstairs over there. And so we stayed there. Good number of years. Until we got ready, you got ready to sell,
yes.
We bought in Fifth Street, and they bought here.
I see, you both moved about the same time.
Mm-hmm. One day different, wasn't it?
Yeah, one day different. Mm-hmm.
And then you moved from Fifth Street to?
Where we are now.
Now to Truman.
Yeah, to moving out there a little over 3 years.
Now, what kind of work did your wife do, you know, during this
she
time?
Worked
she
worked in Reed's.
I see.
And
your wife worked at Reed's, mm-hmm. and Bert's wife worked at Reed's.
Well, she would, for a long time, she worked at Reed's before we married.
I see.
Then, after the children were born, she would be on call. If they call her, she would go to work, you know, a few hours, or whatever time they had. And that's how it worked out. Her Aunt Coy was home quite a lot, and the children stayed home.
I see. Do you recall anything much that happened during World War I, 1914 to 1917?
I can remember that my father was called up for service. But somehow, I guess the war was over, and then they left. And I can't say for sure. Chamberlain might have had something to do with that, because my father had been with Chamberlain so long, and he was a lawyer, too.
Well, were either of you impressed by anything during that time, as children, by the war, World War I? Were you affected
in
a way?
Not at all. If we lived right there on Chamberlain's place, we had everything we wanted.
They had the farm up there, cows and everything, chickens and everything, so we just had everything. Me and Mr. Sherman being, wealthy, you know, pretty little. We had people up the farm, they run the farm, Dad doesn't work down here at the chauffeur and had the big yard and the garden here. We lived very well.
And how about the Depression?
We didn't feel that. That didn't bother us.
But you were going back and forth to school, like together at that time, in St. Paul?
Chamberlain.
During the Depression.
You see, the Chamberlains wanted Mother and Dad to take the trip south with them, so we went to school. So that's how it happened.
At that time, school wasn't as expensive as they are now, you know. They
took care of all of that.
Did you observe anything around you, that is, in terms of how other people lived? Did you see much poverty, or were you aware of maybe stamps, food stamps, or things like that?
No, at that time there was no food stamps. Not that I can remember, was it?
The only time I can remember, I should say once or twice during the World War I, we used to have a shortage of coal, couldn't get it in or something. And people used to have to go to the coal yard to get bags of coal.
Well, what coal yard was this?
There were several coal yards here in the city. The man that I worked with had it was a coal, ice and coal company.
Yes, yes.
And then there was
the West End.
The West End.
Coal company.
There was the Black Brothers Coal Company. Oh, there was a number of coal companies here in the city at that time.
People used to go there and get bags of coal. Sometimes we'd see them in the wintertime, especially with sleds. Mm-hmm. A sled, one or two bags sitting on the wagon, pulling coal home so they keep the houses.
Same during the Depression era.
You know?
We lived at the chambers and the coal and everything was already there, you know. It would never bother us in that way.
Were you aware of maybe any hard times outside of this particular the Chamberlain's environment?
No more. They're just what we hear. They speak about different ones. Oh, they haven't got this, and they haven't got that. But as far as we were concerned, we had everything. You know what I mean? By my father and mother being with the Chamberlain.
Well, what about transportation during the early years?
We had the old trolley cars. We used to ride trolley cars before people started getting cars, because at the time, there was quite a few people had cars, but a very few colored people had cars at that time. One here, maybe one here, finally get one. But most of them, when they bought them then, it used to be like a nice used car, a Ford or Chevy, something like that. But the average person used to ride trolley cars. A lot of the men used to ride bicycles. A lot of the men used to ride bicycles back and forth to work.
Yeah.
And this was during World War I? And how about during the Depression era?
Well, they, we can't say too much about people living over here, over there. In our area, seemingly everybody fared quite well, up by sea.
This is the South End is what we would call South End now, right? The southern part of Bridgeport, Myrtle Avenue?
Myrtle Avenue was the South End.
But at that time, there was quite a few wealthy lived right through there.
See, some of the people are used to own Reeds. Some of Reeds and relatives used to live on West Avenue, Myrtle Avenue. I can't name a lot of them now by their name, Mrs. Doremus.
Now, out through from Park Avenue, going back towards town, when you got from State Street, well, there was doctors and lawyers and all lived all through
West Avenue.
See, the turnpike took all of that when they put the turnpike.
But before the turnpike come through there, the doctors didn't have to move out. Remember Dr. Johnson, mm-hmm. Dr. Lynch?
Mm-hmm. What about black businesses?
There wasn't. At that time.
Only thing I could say around here at that time was maybe it was a few of them.
At that time, are we talking about World War One, Depression?
Right after World War One, as I remember growing up, remember we had Mr. Bingham was Ashman. Mr. Clark used to...
Ashman.
Used to go out, had his own truck go out and move ashes like from your house, my house, you pay him so much. And Mr. Clark, that was George Clark's father, the fireman. Yeah. And who was the other?
There were several others, but I can't call their names now.
Mr. Hansett.
This is the kind of business business.
Yeah. And then a lot of the elderly men, like my dad, too, on the sideline after, also worked for Chamberlain. But my dad used to have sometimes 14 furnaces he'd take care of a day, every morning. And he'd go around each morning, Dad would get up and go down to Mrs. Doremus, he's took care of their furnaces. And then the nights he'd go around and do the same thing, fix them up and bang them for the night. They had all coal furnaces that time. And then after Dad began to go to Florida, we took over the furnaces, and we used to get up and go do the furnaces ourselves, help. Mm-hmm. And people that time paid us about $2 a week, $3 a week, $5. And then we had that big furnace, there was a couple of big furnaces on Fairfield Avenue, in those big buildings, just east of Harrison Street. Bob and I used to go there and fire furnaces for quite a while. That was our own extra work.
Would you say that blacks, how did they take care of that money? Did they save money during this time?
Well,
did they invest their money?
As far as I can say, a lot of them saved a few dollars. And then they did go into the development company here. People put money in, mother and dad did.
About when was this?
Don't remember the year now. The mystery of development company here started. What do you call that name company?
Oh, I can't remember.
Providence Development Company, something like that. It started.
And this, Mr. Jordan, Mr. Brooks, Faulkner, and several others, like the board members, and they started it, and they went pretty good buying property here, you know, rent to you and me, get the blacks in the book. Finally, it folded up because they couldn't make it after 7 years.
Why?
We never understood. And bars ago, my father, lawyer, Chamberlain, told him he didn't understand why it failed.
How about since then, as far as black business is concerned, and as we go past the Depression era, going into World War II?
As far as I can say, as I can remember, I never, bothered to inquire too much about it. It seemed to me there wasn't too many people that didn't bother into it. I'll say, remember the other development company come here and bought up our big place on Broad Street. Was that the same one?
That's the same setup. Oh. For Father Divine took that.
Father Divine bought that big hotel on Broad Street, just below the railroad. Marina Village is now on the right hand, on the left hand side of Broad Street, across the street from the Methodist Church. There was a big apartment there, and the hotel here. I can't call the name of the hotel now. Slipped my mind. They had that. The Father Divine bought that and moved there for a while, for several years. I don't know what happened. I don't remember really what happened.
Have you heard of Afro School that they used to have on Broad Street? Do you ever hear your parents speak about that? You recall a person by the name of Percival Carter?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit.
He was a common man.
Yeah.
He was here around here for a number of years.
He seems to be one of the, I guess now we would call him a cause leader.
He seems to be a leader in the
community.
He went from church to church, you know what I mean, visiting, and he tried to get things organized, but I don't know. He must have given up after.
I guess so.
Things petered out. Later years, his health wasn't good. And
that was it. World War II. What did you do? What was your situation there?
I worked for the drugstore. And I went in and I was inducted into service in 43. And I finally went away the last. I was inducted. Yeah, early in 43, but I finally went away the last part of 43, put in 28 months in service, Navy. 27 months of the 32 months I was in, I was still at sea, South Pacific.
And you got out in what year?
I came out in 1945, just before Christmas.
Have things changed much in Bridgeport?
To me, I didn't pay much attention to it, frankly, about it. I come back here with, I had three jobs waiting for me, but I come back here with, right on back to work. The Stanley Works was waiting for me, Dan Thompson was waiting for me, and another man was waiting for me to go to work. And I went back to work for the drugstore.
Drugstore to the Navy and back to the drugstore.
No, before I went to the Navy, I went back to work for the Stanley Works.
Yeah, you did.
Because the drugstore wasn't essential for
to hold you from the
standard was what they call a defense.
Defense. And I went there and I worked for 12 hours a night for I don't know how long again.
Yeah.
I'd be coming from work, Rupert would be going to work. I'd be going to work, Rupert would come to work.
How about you, Roy? What were you doing during those years, World War II?
Well, after Mrs. Gregg died, I stayed with the son, worked in the airport. They had a home office there, Lordship. I stayed with him 3 years, and then I gave that up. And I went to work then.
Medical building.
On the medical building on Golden Hill Street. I called Golden Hill in Maine, and that building still stands. I worked there for several years. I don't remember just calling to say that. And then I gave that up, and I went to work for the printing company. I stayed at the printing company 22 years.
Which printing company?
L.P. McAdams. It's out the West End. I stayed with them 22 years. I've done a little of everything out there. You know, delivery, work around on this press and that press, whatever call to do, I went on and done it. Things worked out pretty good.
There was a lot of money to be made during World War II. Mm. How did the blacks take advantage of this? What did they do?
Some did, and some didn't. A lot of them were the potential for a while. A lot of the blacks couldn't get in factories till the World War II broke. Then they get the...
As far as the Remington Arms in those factories, blacks didn't get in unless they got a sweeping job or something like
that.
Or else it worked machine. Down in the... Well, it worked down in the hot room where they threw that hot metal and stuff.
In the foundry.
Same as the foundry, the brass shop, same thing. And then, of course, as time went on, the war come, they fell right into some good jobs. And pay started.
Well, prior to World War II, the jobs weren't as good.
No.
But they began to get better jobs once during World War, the defense plan. How was it immediately after war? How were jobs then for blacks?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I put it this way, maybe people think I wasn't interested in it. I was working study, you know, and I didn't bother to follow the factories up because I didn't want heavy work. Because I got tired of it over here at the Stanley Works. I couldn't tell you that. I don't know no more what different ones would say. Well, I'm doing pretty good. I didn't bother to touch anything.
Did blacks invest much during this, after and during the World War II when they were making a lot of money?
Quite a few properties.
They worked for the home. For the home. But far as going into the
business or something, that's
no.
But they bought, many of them bought homes.
Anyway, they tried hard to do it, even at the end. They may not have been able to keep it, but they made a
good start at it.
Good start at it. Of course, we used to always think to ourselves, if only we could, at that time we'd say colored, from Yellow Mill Village, not Yellow Mill, Yellow Mill Bridge, all the way back to Stratford, nothing but black neighborhood would be wonderful. But today I changed that.
Yes.
You know, I mean, things have changed so now. But at that time we thought if blacks could live all through there in white homes and everything, it was wonderful.
Sense of black pride.
Yeah. But of course, this thing's changed so now.
Different environment.
How about informed? Black informant after World War II, when the war was over?
Some of them very good. And stayed on their jobs. I mean, if they were working in the factories, they stayed.
Was it difficult for blacks to get jobs then?
At times it was, and then other times it wasn't. Now, I had a job over, I was told to go up to the Remington Arms one time for a job. I went up there, but at that time they wouldn't hire blacks.
What would you say were some of the plants that would hire blacks more so than some of the other plants? You mentioned Remington Arms.
You could always.
But were there some plants that would be fair in their hiring as far as blacks are concerned?
Now, let me take the GE. They hired blacks. Brass shop would hire. But they had all that dirty work and like that. I mean,
and no one else wanted.
They had the cleaning, pushing brooms and things like that. Well, some of them were able to work down in the hot room where they handle all that heavy hot metal and stuff. But the whites didn't want that. So the blacks were able to get it. Well, that's the way it went through quite a lot.
What about the 60s? What do you think about the 60s? How do you think the 60s influenced Bridgeport, talking about Jackson, Martin Luther King?
Well, let's tell you
the black movement. Did you think it had any influence?
It may have, but I'll tell you, I was working study, never was laid off or anything. It never seemed to bother me. You know, I had studied a job. When I was with Spread, I worked for them 17 years. Nothing seemed to bother me. Ever, you know, pay and all that. Then after Mr. Spread passed, I stayed with him 3 years. And he was doing a lot of traveling then. And I didn't want to travel no more. So I went to work at the building downtown, Merrick Building. And I stayed there several years. Just about close to 10 years, I guess. And I left there and I went to work for Chopin McAdams, the printing company. And I stayed there for 22 years.
How did you see the 60s, Bert? Think it had any influence here in Bridgeport? Did you see any changes by comparison to the 40s or to the 20s as far as
on the same basis, I went into, Mr. Holly got me into the Sears in 52. And I took, from then on, I said, I fared really good. And well, I talked to different ones, and they'd say, well, I'm doing all right. You know, the different ones were afraid, you know, but otherwise, I never bothered to venture out to see. I asked too many questions about other people, you know. And I stuck it out to Sears and so on.
Did you have an opinion as far as black leadership was concerned?
After coming out of service, I did have 51 to approach me and ask me why did I come up to try to run for alderman and all like that here in Bridgeport. But I was never interested in politics. You know. That time I didn't care for it, I never was. They figured by living on East End, living in Brinsley Street, it would come. Someone said I'd make a very good alderman, try. But I'm never interested in it. I didn't know for it. Then again, I'm not much of a talker, to be out in the public.
I have to get up to speak enough, man. I'm lost there. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about education in the sense of comparing schools? What do you think about schools at the time that you went, and then schools now, or even at the time your children went to school?
Well, I say one thing. Lots of time in school, I do notice, even as a young kid, some of the teachers were very interested in whether you were black or white. Did you learn and get your lessons? Others, you know, if you got it all right, and if you didn't, all right. By the time we went to school, we had a very nice group of teachers. I was particularly interested in.
Did you have any black teachers?
No, not at that time. Well, then it came on that I don't remember what year that Mrs. Jennings, Baron Jennings, was teaching. I know she ran for teaching, went to teaching, but the year I couldn't go to tell you. And then remember Thelma
her son.
Foster. Her son is the dentist now. At the dentist. Taylor, Bleach's Taylor. His mother taught.
Then there was the lady on, excuse me,
there was two, at that time, there was two color teachers. Mrs. Jennings.
Yep. The one who lived next to Mr. Roy. On
Central
Avenue.
She was Hamilton.
Hamilton.
She taught for a while.
She taught for a while. Mm-hmm.
That's Harold's mother. Harold Hayes.
Yes. Yeah.
But see, of course, seemed to me after World War, beginning of either during World War II, beginning of it or during it, that's when a lot of the blacks really got in, I say, teaching jobs. See, and some of them came here from from the South.
Yeah.
It looked like some of the boys and girls here didn't make it, didn't care for it.
Now, you know, there's another thing I want to ask you about that I heard about, and that is the place that they work on these trolleys. Was there a company by the name of a locomobile?
The locomobile.
Can you tell me something about that?
The locomobile company was the
automobile.
That was the automobile company. It's right down at the main street on the left hand side, all those factories on where the Remington company is now.
Yes, Remington Rand.
Yeah, that used to be the locomobile company. And remember, they used to build the locomobile cars there. They built the
There's army trucks there.
They used to build the old Reichen army trucks there, too.
Now, this locomobile, did they build trolleys?
No, they only built cars.
What kind of cars?
There was a locomobile pleasure car, you know.
A regular car. I see.
Only the rich ones.
I see. And what about the trolleys? Where do they go? Was there
the trolley car barn used to be on Congress Street. No, take it back. The trolley car barn used to be out here in Stratford for a while. This side of the cemetery. There used to be someplace in there. Remember, they used to store them, park them there at night. Then after that, they bought the CRNL people bought the place, you know, where the city has the sand pile on Congress Street now, just moved to the bridge.
Yes,
yes. That's used to be the place.
I see.
Right across from the fire department.
Yeah, right in there now.
Yes, because it used to be the bus barn.
Bus terminal.
I see.
Not the terminal, you know, where they get their buses.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the trolley.
The first trolley, seemed to me years ago, they used to have to bring them all out this way to Stratford, near Stratford, between Bridgeport and Stratford, and someplace in there, talking back the way this way. We were kids, you know, we used to see them. And after that, they went on Congress Street.
Well, I think we have covered everything. It's a conversation now is open. If you have anything you want to comment on, anything that we haven't covered, or you'd like to say.
And then, too, after that, things were tight for jobs, fellows in the service. And different women went there to apply for jobs with the trolley company and all like that. They needed help, but they wouldn't give the colored girls the job, because the driving, well, at that time the trolleys was out, they had buses in. They wouldn't give them the job. To be a bus driver.
And were there many blacks that worked here?
So it's only at the trolley barn?
Yes.
Not too many. No, not too many.
How about the locomobile?
The locomobile company, Marin Jennings' father. What's his name? Norton Williams. He's a cook. His sheriff down there, and Mrs. and his wife used to be there. They had two of them with me. She used to work there. Mr. Holly worked there before he went to Sears Roebuck. And there may have been a few more, but I don't remember their names. Because it wasn't not too many to get jobs at that time. And Mr. Williams worked for the railroad company, North.
Yeah, Williams used to run on
Brisbane Street.
Yeah, he was a
good He was in the railroad office down there on Water Street with the Haven Rules, the Haven Heart, the railroad company. He was in there. Mr. Fred Stevens
The two Stevens brothers.
Mr. Fred Stevens worked in the post office.
At the inside.
At the window, selling stamps. And his brother, John Stevens, where the Colonel Young Post has his place now.
Do you remember when stamps were sold at the post office?
Mr. Fred Stevens worked at the post office used to be on the corner of Cannon Street and Broad Street. Right where
they called post office arcade.
Yeah, he used to work there. Big red brick building. And Mr. Fred Stevens used to sell stamps and so forth there. And his brother was a mail carrier up
on the east end side, around East Main Street there, above the railroad, going
up there.
Well, we'll say the nice part of East Main. Yeah. He carried mail home. They were the only two black mailmen in town. I mean, he was the outside man, and
his brother was the inside man. Mr. Jordan was one of the tellers at the Bank of National Bank.
Thank
you.
Lively was something at one
Mr. Lively was up there. The building is on corner, just below the National, the first floor of the National Bank there. Mr. Lively used to work for a brokerage company. Bill Lively. He was the first black scoutmaster. He took over the Zion Church. Scout troop, and I worked with him for a while, and finally I,